Hi everyone, my name is Mr. Barlow. Welcome to episode 12 of the VCE Biology Podcast. This episode covers part of Unit 1, Area of Study 2, and I'll be talking about the classification of living things. Now, classification might sound boring, but recording the world's biodiversity is actually really, really important. Now, biodiversity, I suppose, is defined as the variety of all living things on the whole planet. And only by recording biodiversity do we know what organisms exist and at what rate they're becoming extinct, which habitats are most endangered and in need of protection or restoration, and which species and habitats can be used safely for the benefits of humans. Now, we've actually done, or humans have done, quite a good job of classifying the world's biodiversity so far, but we've got so much further to go. At the moment, we've classified about 1.5 million things, but there are millions and millions of more things on this planet. For example, humans have classified about 1 million insects, but it's estimated that there may be as many as 10 million insects on the planet. Similarly, we've classified about 250,000 plants, but I can tell you there's far more than 250,000 plants on the planet. So it's really important that we know all of the world's biodiversity. But why is it important to record the world's biodiversity? Well, there's heaps of reasons actually. For example, it's important to know which plants are dangerous for humans. So, you know, there's some plants out there that if you eat them, you'll die. You know, they're fatal. It's important to know which animals out there are dangerous. You know, a blue-ringed octopus is dangerous. If you get stung by one, you might die. It's also important to know which organisms, you know, which plants and animals are beneficial to humans. You know, for example, we actually need to eat organisms, both plants and animals, to sustain ourselves. And it's important to know which ones we can eat and which ones we can't eat. It's also important, biodiversity is important for the discovery of new drugs or medicines. Did you know that around 70% of all new drugs introduced in the past 25 years, you know, medicines, have been derived from natural products? So you never really know. The cure for HIV might be in one of those tens of millions of plants that we haven't yet classified or learnt about. So learning about biodiversity is really, really important. So once we've discovered a new organism, we need to classify it, or we need to put it into a group based on the shared qualities of other living things. So there's two important words here. One is phylogeny, and that's, I suppose, the study of how organisms are related to each other through evolution. And the other word is taxonomy. And taxonomy is the science of classification, and it involves giving names to groups of animals. So when classifying the biodiversity of life on this planet, organisms can be put into seven main groups. And the seven groups are, in order of size, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species. So species is the smallest group. Now, I remember those seven groupings by remembering the mnemonic, kooky professors can offer funny great science. So kooky professors can offer funny great science, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. So, for example, in terms of scientific classification, if I was to classify a human is in the kingdom Animalia, it's in the phylum Chordata, which means basically it's got a backbone, it's in the class Mammalia, like mammals, it's in the order Primates, you've probably heard of primates, it's in the family Hominidae, it's in the genus Homo, and the species, I'm sure you've heard this before, the species of human is Homo sapien. Now, if I was going to classify a tiger, it would obviously be classified differently. It would be in the kingdom Animalia, just like humans. It would be in the phylum Chordata, just like humans. It would be in the class Mammalia, just like a human. But it would be in the order Carnivora, like carnivore, you know, meat eater. It would be in the family Felidae, like feline. It would be in the genus Panthera. and the tiger's actual species name is Panthera tigris. So human's actual name is Homo sapien, tiger's actual name is Panthera tigris. So both of those names, species names, are made up of two words. Homo sapiens, two words, and Panthera tigris is two words. So this system of giving species a two-word name is called the binomial system of nomenclature. So basically that means giving organisms two words for their name. You know, bi means two, so binomial nomenclature, you know, basically giving organisms two words for their name. And it's generally, well, always is their genus and their species name joined together. So species is the smallest grouping of organisms on Earth. And a species is basically defined as a group of organisms that are capable of interbreeding with each other to produce viable, fertile offspring. So the example I'll give here is I'll talk about a horse and a donkey. So a horse is one species, and a donkey is another species. But a horse and a donkey can actually breed with each other, and they produce a mule. So the problem with that is a mule is in fact infertile. So that means that the mule can't have babies. So if you're an organism and you can't reproduce, you can't have babies of your own, that means your species has got a pretty limited lifespan on this planet. So that's why we define a horse as being a different species than a donkey. Because when those two species interbreed, they don't produce fertile offspring. So yeah, by definition, if two things are members of the same species, they must be able to interbreed to produce fertile offspring. Now the biggest grouping of animals is the kingdom. And there are five kingdoms, and they are Animalia, Plantae, Fungi, Protista, and Monera. So the kingdom Animalia has got animals in it, and they're organisms which are heterotrophs, so they eat other organisms to get nutrition. The kingdom Plantae is a group of organisms that photosynthesize, so they're autotrophs, you know, they make their own food. The kingdom Fungi is a group of organisms that digest their food outside of their body, so they release enzymes into their surroundings and digest food and absorb nutrients that way. The kingdom Protista, it's a group of organisms that some of them are a bit animal-like, some of them are a bit plant-like, some of them are a bit like fungi, but they're all a fair bit simpler than those three kingdoms. So they're different again. The Protista can be multicellular or unicellular. They're quite a mixed bunch, really. And the kingdom Animalia, Fungi, Plantae, and Protista, they're all made up of eukaryotic cells. Now, the last kingdom, Monera, that's prokaryotes. So that's single-celled organisms, you know, basically it's single-celled bacteria. Now, there's actually another way to classify organisms. Instead of using the five kingdom way, the other way is to use the three domain method of classification. So the three domains, basically the first one is eukaryotes. So it's all the eukaryotic organisms on Earth. So it's all of the animals, plants, fungi, and protista all grouped into one domain, eukaryota. Now the other two domains are all the prokaryotic organisms on Earth. And the two different domains that all prokaryotic organisms are split up to in the three-domain system, one of the domains is called bacteria, and the other domain is called archaebacteria. So the domain bacteria is kind of all the bacteria you think of when you think of single-celled prokaryotic organisms. But archaebacteria are kind of the ancient bacteria, and they live in really specific, unusual environments like really high-temperature thermal vents at the bottom of the ocean. So they're kind of a different bunch of bacteria. So just to quickly summarize those two methods of classification, the five kingdoms is Animalia, Plantae, Fungi, Protista, and Monera. And if you're going to use the three domain system, it's eukaryota, bacteria, and archaebacteria. Now, what happens if you find an organism and you don't know what it is? Well, basically, you use a key or a dichotomous key to figure it out. So a key, it basically consists of a pair of alternative descriptions, at each point, and you choose which point best describes the specimen you're looking at. And you keep going along the steps of the key, making a choice at each of the two choices, until you basically figure out which species you found, or maybe you could have found a whole new species. And that brings episode 12 of the VCE Biology Podcast to a close. It also means I've finished talking about Unit 1. I'm Mr. Barlow, and thanks for listening.